Welcome and thank you for joining us for the Church by the Glades podcast. If you would like more information about Church by the Glades, including service times and directions, visit cbglades.com. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Who says you can't celebrate Easter more than one weekend? In fact, if you're a guest, we celebrate the resurrection every Sunday at Church by the Glades. The crucifixion, resurrection of Christ is not just the greatest story in the Bible. It's the greatest story, period. It's the pivotal miracle everything hinges on. So we're celebrating a very good news day. So glad you're here. Give it up for yourself and your neighbor at your campus. You're watching online around the world. I'm David. I'm one of the pastors here at CBG. And my mama taught me. I think she's watching in Georgia. Hi, Mom. Everybody say hi, Mom. Hi, Mom. My mama taught me it's good manners to say thank you when someone does what you ask. And if you're part of the CBG family, we've been asking you for about a month to choose this first weekend as your Easter experience. And you know, the date for Easter bounces every year, so it's not like a sacred date. Thank you. Thank you for choosing this one. Next Sunday morning is going to be really, really crowded. If you got to come back next weekend, you can come back. There'll be a different sermon next weekend, but come on Saturday night or come Sunday night. Sunday morning is going to be beautiful chaos. I don't want to be part of that. Anyways, so here is my challenge. I've had the huge pleasure of being your pastor now for 25 years. And thank you. So my challenge is, here's this amazing story that we all know is famous. So how can I frame it a little differently this year so it's stickier? Maybe you get some new truth, revelation from God. That is my hope. And so about a month ago, I started thinking about this angle. Tough guys. Put your hands together if you know a tough guy. Who knows a tough guy? That they won't clap for themselves. You know a tough guy? We have some tough guys in our church. We have some guys in our church. They're jacked. We have some men's men here. But during the course of the years, we've had some tough guys roll through Church by the Glades. When the training facility was in Davie, we had about a dozen dolphins. They're part of a hard combat sport. We've had Hall of Fame football players make this their church. We've had, hockey players, man. We've had Panthers prowling the premises. And those guys are tough. You know, hockey players, man, they lose teeth, get stitches, go right back in. They're tough. Even tougher still, MMA. We've had UFC champions as part of our church. We've had some tough, in fact, be careful, don't smart mouth anybody at Church by the Glades. Some of these brothers are small, man, but man, they're carved out of granite. They can knock you out. We've had some tough guys. If I think about tough guys and tough gals, I think about the awesome heroic people who serve in the United States military. I love our service people who are serving currently or have served. So if you are part of the Army, Navy, Marine Corps, Air Force, Coast Guard, God bless you. We love to celebrate you. I'm unapologetically patriotic, but even among these elite, amazing, heroic people, I think the best of the best, the toughest of all tough guys, Special Forces. All the branches have an expression of Special Forces, Special Ops, and they're just wired differently. I'm talking about Army Rangers, Navy SEALs, Green Berets. They're just their training, their dedication. In fact, you can give it up for people like that who serve. And the amazing things they do, the dangerous missions, the people they rescue, incredible. So if you're watching online, this campus is not in proximity to a military base, but I'm working out of my gym back a few months ago, and my buddy Yuman, my gym, by the way, it's, you know, some gyms are very casual, like you could be on the treadmill and eating Doritos at the same time and nobody judges you. My gym is not that gym. My gym is a lot of serious fitness people, professional fitness people, bodybuilders that compete at the highest level. So my buddy Yuman's competed in the Olympia, giant dude. Friend of mine, very nice. He's training with this new guy named Kenyon. And so Kenyon, I got a picture of Kenyon. He's Instagram, he's a fitness guy. He's in amazing shape. And I met Kenyon. Kenyon's super nice, lives in Homestead. And when he leaves, this very humble, soft-spoken guy, Yuman says, Dave, you know what he does for a living? I'm like, I don't know, a personal trainer? Oh, ambassador for a supplement company? What's he do? Army. Career Army, a lieutenant colonel. He's been a Ranger and he is a Green Beret. Yeah. We began to correspond. Man, he loves our church. He loves and respects what we do together. And so mainly on social media, we go back and forth. We DM. He's awesome because like every once in a while, hey, pastor, I can't talk for a few days. I got to go somewhere. I'm like, what's he doing? What bad guy's he taking out? You know, who's he going to rescue, right? So he's been in. He's going to retire in a year and a half. But I reached out to him to ask him some details, like, why did you choose Special Forces? He said, well, I came out of college, got my degree, but I'm very patriotic, had a new family, just got married, had a little girl, thought I want a career, so I chose Army. I went to OCS, you know, to be an officer, and I was just so attracted to the Special Force guys, the Green Berets and the Rangers. In fact, I want to make sure I get this right, and I said, what was the appeal? He said, it was this. Your phone always freezes at moments like this. He said, their meticulous commitment to the mastery of every detail. So they literally are the best of the best. If I'm going into harm's way, I want to my right and my left my brothers who are the best of the best. I thought that was awesome. Now, why bring this up? I want to give you a new way to frame Jesus. A lot of us here, especially the men, especially if you're kind of new to the whole Jesus thing, this image you have in your mind of Jesus, you see Jesus as this soft brother. And it's not really your fault, right? Because you hear these cute little Jesus stories, or you see pictures. Of course, there's no photographs of Jesus. There's no paintings from his actual lifetime. But many years later, artists have painted Jesus. They always paint like a soft dude, don't they? Yeah. In the painting, Jesus always has like feathered blonde hair. And he's wearing like a bathrobe. He's sporting like a Miss America sash and flip-flops. And he's always like giving candy out to children or holding like a little baby lamb. He's kind. He's gentle. He was compassionate. He was approachable. But my brothers, our king was a man. He was a man's man. Outdoorsmen, fishermen, rugged men followed him. He had charisma. He had a smile, had a booming voice, could speak to over 5,000 without need of amplification. By profession, he was a carpenter. That meaning he made little knickknacks for the shelf. He's building houses. He had calluses. He was jacked. He had muscle. No power tools required for Jesus. He was a man, and I think he was a man on a mission. In fact, I think we can frame the whole Easter event. This whole, you know, betrayal, arrest, crucifixion, resurrection. He's on a mission. He's on a rescue mission. The entire human family is being held hostage by an unholy hater, Genesis chapter 3. We're trapped in sin and death. We are the apex of God's creation. Wait, you missed that. We are as good as it gets. I know God made magnificent mountain ranges and sequoias and blue whales and sunsets, but turn to your neighbor and say, you're as good as it gets. You're the best thing God ever made. Only people are made in God's divine image. And in Genesis 3, the unholy hater wants to steal away God's best. He wants to pirate and plunder our potential. So sin, destruction, despair, and death have been part of the human equation. But Jesus is God's Green Beret. Jesus is God's Special Forces. Jesus is the heavenly hero. And Easter is about a righteous rescue mission that Jesus is on. New way to frame Easter, new way to think about Jesus. So again, if you're part of this church, you know I love history. I tend to be prone to deep dives, sometimes deeper than I should. So I went down the rabbit hole, did some research, you know, thinking about Special Forces, Army Rangers, Green Berets, perhaps the most famous group right now, the Navy SEALs. So I went on a website, historychannel.com. It listed what were the most important Navy SEAL missions of all time. And I'll just give you a few of them. Number one was D-Day in 1944. They weren't even called SEALs back then. They were called the Navy Combat Demolition Team. Now, if you don't know what D-Day was, read a book. It's when the Allies, the good guys, the Americans, the Brits, and the Canadians began to rescue Europe from the Nazis. So June 6, 1944, 160,000 Allied soldiers stormed the beaches of Normandy, but 170 Navy SEALs, they didn't call them that, but they went hours ahead of time and laid explosives. Over half of them died, incredibly heroic, trying to rescue an entire continent. You'll recognize this one in 2011. It's called Operation Neptune Spear. You know that name, but that's when 24 Navy SEALs and Army Black Hawk helicopters go into Pakistani airspace. Why? We finally found out where cowardly mass murderer Osama bin Laden's been hiding out. And they went in and took out the terrorist and his lieutenants, and by the way, rescued 12 children. Another one on the list was the rescue of Somali relief workers in 2012. Americans, Europeans were in Somalia via famine, feeding hungry people, and traffickers took them hostage, wanted to hold them ransom, and man, a dozen Navy SEALs parachute in, take out the bad guys, and then finally, and I'll stop, but the rescue of Captain Richard Phillips. You may have seen the Tom Hanks movie. That's a true story, by the way. Somali pirates take this poor guy as captive and hold him for hostage, but Navy SEAL snipers in simultaneous single shots neutralize the bad guys. SEALs are bad. Rangers are bad. Oh my God. Green Berets, tough guys. Jesus, loving, compassionate, forgiving. Tough guy. I know, what kind of weird sermon? I'm just telling you. If you don't believe me for homework, you read Revelation chapter 19 when he comes again. He ain't giving out candy or holding a baby lamb. You can just read that on your own. So anyways, I want to take you to a passage. It's not the typical Easter passage. The Easter events described at the latter part of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But I want to show you the first time Jesus describes in detail the mission for his disciples. This revolutionary mission of rescue. He gives some very big ideas away for the first time. It's Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. If you have a copy of the text, find Matthew chapter 16. I'll put it on the screen if you don't. And I don't know why he chooses at this point in the journey with the 12 to share, but I think he rendered the fact that they were receptive. He thought, no, they're ready. The timing is right. Timing in life is a big deal, isn't it? In relationships, timing's a big deal. Come on, husbands. You ever do the right thing at the wrong time? Did she let you know? Yes, she lets you know, right? Timing. Man, you missed the anniversary just by a week, right? Just a week late, you went in the thing. You know, but you brought in flowers and a gift, but you're a week late. Timing is a big deal. A timing for delicate conversations, when to talk to your kids about certain things they grow up. So in the new series, Fearless Family, we're going to talk about relationships. It's not just for people who are married with kids. We're all trying to navigate relationships. But the Bible has the most powerful and practical relationship principles there are. So as you're trying to navigate all those valued interpersonal relationships, you got to be here. It starts on the 13th and the 14th. I'm rebooting the title, All New Talks, though. But I'm just telling you, the Bible is genius. And we all have those people that you love like crazy. And they're making you crazy. So how do you maximize your relationships? Please be here. If you're not even down with the whole Jesus thing at this point, just come check it out. We'll give you some practical ideas of how to have better, healthier, beneficial relationships. So that's coming up. But timing's a big deal. Like parents, when do you have that talk with your kids? Y'all know the talk? No talk. I mean, because I'll give you an example. So I'm driving my little kid. Well, they're my big kids now, but they're little kids. So Zane, your brother and sister. So Charlie was fifth grade. He was like five. Victoria's like four. So kindergarten and BBK. Anyway, so I'm driving here because they go to school here at Glades Christian. And I work right across the campus. So it made sense. So I'm driving them. I know we're talking about whatever we're talking. We're talking about Disney Channel. We're talking about Nickelodeon and SpongeBob. I don't know. Then out of nowhere, no context, my baby girl, she's like four. She goes, hey, Daddy, where do babies come from? I was not prepared for that question. So my brothers, I did what any smart dad would do when your punk baby girl asks you the question, where do babies come from? I said, oh, honey, you need to ask your mom. That's exactly what I said. Need to ask your mom. To which she replied, I asked mom last night. She said to ask you. Thank you, Lisa Hughes. Thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. I don't know what I said. I fumbled through something, guys. I don't know. Took her to school. And a lot of parents have a story about that because I wasn't sure the timing was right. She was so young. Anyways, we get a call from her teacher here at school. Miss Laura called us the next week. Said, by the way, Pastor David, Lisa, you need to know this, that I'm teaching, I don't know, the ABCs, alphabet. And Victoria raised her hand. I thought a question about the letter B. But instead she said, Miss Laura, can you please tell me where do babies come from? Which I said, oh, sweetheart, you need to ask your mom and your dad. To which she replied, I did. They don't have a clue. I actually know, but the timing. So Jesus, in his perfect discernment, with always perfect timing, thought they were ready to hear about this mission. So Matthew chapter 16, he begins unpacking the mission in verse 13. We get the geographical context. So when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? A term for himself. What are people saying about me? What is the word on the street? You better be secure if you're going to ask that question. What are they saying about me in the comments when you post what I say? And the response is interesting. The next verse says, they replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others Jeremiah, one of the prophets. Jesus, they know you're somebody. They're just not sure exactly who. By the way, if that's you, if you know Jesus is somebody, but you're not sure exactly who, oh my gosh, you're in the right place. You're in the right place. Oh, we want this to be the safest, best place for you to ask your Jesus questions, and you should be asking Jesus questions. If you're not a Christian person, listen, no one's had more impact. I talk about this all the time, but just simply this, time. We literally subdivide time based on his birth. Think about that. With all the famous leaders and kings and pharaohs and Caesars, all those great people in history, it is Jesus that subdivides our time, you know, BC, AD. That's all about Jesus. Figure out who he is. Ask your Jesus questions. They know he's somebody. They don't know exactly who. And then verse 15, Jesus gets personal on the screen. You read the highlighted word. But what about you? What about you, he asks. Who do you say I am? Jesus, how about you? Who do you say that I am? Give me your personal response, your personal response to that. Now, listen, if you're here and don't know Jesus, let me give you a thought. When you walk in, come 3 weeks. Come back 3 weeks. Check it out for 3 weeks. And when you walk in, thank you, one happy person, you and me, then you come back 3 weeks. Why? What you do on Sunday morning, that's important anyway. Be here 3 weeks. I promise the relationship stuff will be very practical, very usable, whether you're a person of faith or not. But when you walk through the tunnel, pray this prayer. Don't tell him or her you're praying it. Just, hey, God, if you're listening in there, I'm open. Then sit down, pick a place, and just stay open. What will happen is, because God is unlimited by time and space, he'll speak to you. In fact, you can pray that right now. I got like 12 minutes left. Take these next 12 minutes, just say, hey, God, try it. I'm open. And then you be open. I really believe that something I'm going to say in the next little bit of time will be relevant for you, be personal for you. If you give God a chance, he'll get so up in your chili. And because he's not limited by time and space, I wrote this message 3 weeks ago. But because he's not limited by time, you know, he went back in my mind 3 weeks ago and gave me an idea to write down to preach today, knowing that you'd be here because personally you matter that much to him. In fact, speaking about personally, I don't think God wants like a religion with all these. I think he wants a personal relationship with you. Religion is not that exciting. Religion can degrade to rules, judgment, rituals, relationships. You know, life's all about relationships. The God of the universe wants a relationship with you. He's not mad at you. He's crazy in love with you. Right. So I'll ask people though sometime about this idea, who is he to you? I'll ask people, like, do you have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ? Do you have a personal relationship? And they'll tell me about someone else. Pastor, my mama, she is a good church woman, pastor, a good church woman. She reads her Bible all the time. Oh, my cousin's a priest. He's in the ministry. It's like you think you get like family faith rollover minutes or something. Who's God to you? Who do you think they am? Verse 16. Here's our boy Simon. Read the first word. 1, 2, 3.
Simon.
Simon. Simon. Peter. I love him, by the way. Answered. By the way, normally when he answers, it's wrong. Like, he's someone he always kind of thinks before he engages his brain. Know someone like that, right? He's that guy. I like him. He's impulsive. He has charisma, but he always tends to say the wrong thing. But here, he nails it. Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ," means Messiah, "the Son of the living God." Oh my God. This is Simon's best moment in all the Bible. This is as good as it gets. Look what Jesus says, verse 17. Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by men, but my Father in heaven," verse 18. "And I tell you, you are
Peter."
Peter, by the way, if your name is Peter, Peter, thank Jesus. First time your name shows up in literature is right here. It means the rock. The original rock was not Dwayne Johnson. It's Simon. You are going to be the rock. You're going to be solid and strong. You are the rock. And on this rock, I will build my
church.
And the gates of hell will not prevail. I'm going to build my church, my church. By the way, the Greek word there does not mean a building or environment. Environments are important. Buildings make a big difference. But the word ekklesia means the gathering. It means the force. It means the movement. God has a mission. And we are the movement to accomplish the mission. Yeah. I love what we can do together. I know some of y'all only hit church on big days, and thank you for being here. But what takes place here is so powerful. Right. There's a spiritual synergy as we come together. We can just do bigger and better stuff because we come together in unity. Right. We're taking what God is doing here in the West, and we're taking it to the East. Yeah. How God has blessed the church. I mean, the theologian Bono was right. Take it from the seats to the streets. And we're doing that right now. We're blessing Broward County. We bring hope and ministry to prison campuses in Dade County. By the way, of supporting other ministries like A21, we're rescuing the victims of the sex trade in Thailand and Greece as we speak. And how about Haiti? I should talk about Haiti. For over 10 years, we have been the primary source of resourcing for an orphanage of 50-plus little girls right outside of Port-au-Prince. I've been on the phone with the leadership team because their area is under the control of the gangs. But every day the food's getting through because of you. They're well fed, they have fuel, they're got, because we are the church, we are the movement, we are the force, and we have a mission. And so come back. Come back. Make it your habit. I promise this, the team here will work so hard to make sure it's the best hour of your week. The musicians, video people, it will not be. What we're going to do week one of Fearless Family, what they're going to pull off. I promise, if you come in these doors and you're just open, God, I'm open, you watch. Wednesday will become the saddest day of your week. Because it's the furthest day between church services. Thursday, you'll get excited. Friday, your eye will start to twitch a little bit. Saturday, oh, you can't sleep Saturday night because you know Sunday is the day of the gathering, the ecclesia, the force, the movement, the inspiration, the passion. Peter says the right thing. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. So at this point, Jesus thinks they're ready. They're ready to hear what the actual plan is. So here is the plan. Verse 21. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of law, and he must be killed. It's a mandatory mission. High stakes. High stakes. Suffering and crosses. But look around you. Look around. High reward. High reward. I think when Jesus went to the cross, he literally had you on his mind. You may not believe in Jesus, but I promise you he believes in you. And he died to pay for our sin and then to rise again on the third day. See, here's the reason Jesus died. He's not just the rescuer. He's more than the rescuer. Let me stay in the Gospel of Matthew, but this time chapter 20, verse 28 on the screen right now. It says, just as the Son of Man had came not to be served, but to serve, get ready, and to give his life a ransom. See, the wage of sin is death. But the sinless one died on my behalf. See, he's not just the rescuer. He's the ransom. The hero on this one's going to take a hit. Man, spiritual Navy SEAL, heaven's green beret. He's going to come down and he's going to take a hit for us. The one who had not sinned died on the cross to pay for our sin as a free gift. And you can receive salvation just by saying yes to my great God. See, talking to my friend who's a green beret, Kenyan, you know, he described, you're on that copter, you know, and the light goes from red to green. You move. Doesn't matter if it's a good time. When headquarters calls, there's a mission. They'll go, you know, I got a train. I got plans. You move.
Right.
So what's the commander-in-chief calling you to do today? What is your mission? For someone, it's to give yourself by faith to Christ. Prayer partners will be at the edge of the stage when I shut up in like 5 minutes. And they'll be here for one purpose. They'll pray with you if you have a need. But if you're here and don't know for certain and sure that you're saved, that you have a personal relationship with God through Christ, nail it down. Nail it down. Make that decision. It changes everything. Someone else, you've done that, but you've not been baptized. We can baptize you today, or if you want to, Easter Sunday at the beach. Join hundreds of other people choosing baptism on that day. We'll baptize on this campus as well between services. But baptism is how you plant your flag of victory that the King has set you free. Someone else, you're like, whoa, slow your reacher there, preacher boy, but I'm not ready for all that stuff yet, but three weeks, come back 3 weeks, check it out, walk in the tunnel, be open, give God a chance. I know God's processing some decision you need to make. And here's the crazy thing. The moment you sense the voice of God, there'll be a second voice.
Yeah.
There'll be another voice that's going to try to talk you down from the very thing that God is calling you to do. So after Jesus, here's my plan. I must go to Jerusalem. I must be delivered in the hands of sinful men. I must go to the cross and suffer and rise again on the third day. Right after that, what says verse 22 on the screen right now? Our boy, our hero from verse 16, the right answer guy, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Look what 1, 2, 3, Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Never, Lord, this shall never happen to you. And what's Jesus say to him? Verse 23 on the screen right now. He said, Jesus turned to Peter and said, get thee behind me.
Satan.
Wow, Satan, you're a stumbling block to me. You don't have a mind to think of God. It's funny, you know, the moment God calls you to do something, the devil will whisper in your ear, but it won't sound like the devil.
Wow.
Like Peter didn't have like all of a sudden put on like red pajamas and a pitchfork and right? He's a friendly voice.
Yeah, right.
The moment you sense God's calling you to make a move, a friendly voice. You know, some of y'all are like, I can't do the whole Jesus thing because my friends or my colleagues or my classmates or my teammates or a family won't understand, right? Sometimes the friendly voice that tries to make you stand down when God is calling you to make this move is the friendly voice of the face you meet in the mirror every day. That's the voice of the enemy. Get thee behind me. I got a mission. I got a mission. I got a mission. So here's the first time Jesus explains the mission, and guess what? They didn't get it. So he explains again and again and again in the remaining time together, and they don't get it. Finally, last shot, Lord's Supper, everything about the meals, about his sacrifice and cross. And they're like, duh, they don't get it. It wasn't until he was arrested. It wasn't until he was condemned. Probably wasn't until he was crucified and placed in the tomb. Then they maybe began to understand, or maybe they didn't, because that was like the darkest moment in the mission. In fact, every mission like this through history has that moment where it seems like it's going to fail. The one probably most recognizable for us was when the Navy SEALs, SEAL Team 6, became famous when they went to Pakistan to the compound where Osama bin Laden was hiding. And because of our network of satellites, we can watch these things, at least the headquarters can watch these things happen in real time. And there's a famous picture of the Situation Room when then President Barack Obama and his advisors, they're watching this happen. But look at their faces in that famous pic. They're not high-fiving and chest-bumping, like, look at us, it's gonna work. What had just happened was one of the helicopters crashes in the compound. And they're thinking, half the SEALs are dead. We've been discovered. The terrorists have been alerted. Oh my gosh, it's gonna fail. What they hadn't thought of was Navy SEALs are the best of the best. They're tough, they're trained, they improvise. They know how to solve problems under difficult circumstances. What happened, the mission was a complete success. Just had that moment. Maybe you're in that moment. Maybe you've lost your job. Maybe you've lost your spouse. Maybe you've lost your hope. Something's going so sideways. You're like, man, God can't help me. Listen, it's just that moment in the mission. As long as Jesus is in the equation, as long as you center your life around him, the mission will be accomplished every time. So I know y'all know this story. It's a famous story. but I can humanize it. The disciples are still dreaming of earthly kingdoms and power and their thrones. When Judas rolls up, kisses Jesus, the soldiers step in, and he's arrested, then shortly later condemned. Pilate washes his hands and seals his fate. It seemed like the mission had failed, but the mission would be accomplished. They take the Prince of Peace and they beat him beyond recognition with a cat of nine tails. When that happened, it seemed like the mission had failed, but the mission would be accomplished. He's forced to carry his own cross down the Via Dolorosa. The fickle crowd that praised him a week before, now they mock him and ridicule him, and it seemed like the mission had failed, but the mission would be accomplished. He climbs Mount Calvary. Roman soldiers drive steel spikes in his hands and his feet, and it seemed like the mission has failed, but the mission would be accomplished. He's hanged on a cross, crucified, bleeding out, mocked by his enemies. They've murdered him. Now they jeer him. Come down from the cross and we'll believe in you, Jesus. He labors for breath. It seems like the mission had failed, but the mission would be accomplished. He wells up what strength he has left. He cries out to his Father, "It is finished." Surely it seemed like the mission had failed, but the mission would be accomplished. The sky grows dark. The earth shakes violently. People gnash their teeth. The women cry. A Roman pagan centurion says, "Surely that was the Son of God." But it seemed like the mission had failed, but the mission would be accomplished. They take his broken body and they place it in a borrowed rich man's tomb. And it seemed like the mission had failed, but the mission would be accomplished. On that first Friday, there's nothing. Death has won the day. The demons of hell, they celebrate. They murder the King of Life. They snuffed out the light of the world. It seemed like the mission had failed, but the mission would be accomplished. On Silent Saturday, disciples cower in fear. They scatter like sheep without a shepherd. It seems like the mission has failed, but the mission will be accomplished. But on Sunday, on Easter Sunday, on Resurrection Sunday, the power of God floods that darkened tomb. A heart that's been still for 3 days beats one time, then beats a second time, and then beats a third time, and a fourth time, and a fifth time, and it regains the rhythm of life. Blood that is congealed and black begins to flow red. A body as cold as a tomb begins to warm. Jesus breathes in lungs that were lifeless, and the King conquers death. It just seemed like the mission had failed. But if God's in the picture, if resurrection life is in the picture, the mission will be. Before I let you go, so here, question, remain standing, we're almost done. What's failed in your life? Maybe your confidence failed because, I don't know, that sin, that addiction you can't beat, you failed, you feel defeated. Maybe your business failed, your finances failed, maybe your marriage failed. Maybe the doctor said your health is failing. Oh my gosh, listen, wrap your life around the Commander-in-Chief. Eternity's green beret, the spiritual special force of the seal, Jesus. If he's in the picture, guess what? The mission, God's mission, will be accomplished, but you got to make your move. You got to make that decision. Don't listen to that voice that's telling you to stand down. Step up. Be brave. Seize your moment. It just seems like the mission has failed, but God's mission will be accomplished. Father God, if we learn anything from Easter, it ain't over till you say it's over. It might seem like it's dead and it's lifeless and it's in the tomb, but when my Lord speaks, stones roll away and dead bodies reanimate. So Father, give us hope and give us courage, but first the power to make intrepid decisions. So Father, I pray for courageous women and brave men to step up and say yes to Jesus, draw a line in the sand. This is the day that we choose to step into our destiny. God, accomplish your mission in us, in Jesus' name.
Thanks again for listening to this week's message. We hope you enjoyed the podcast today. To hear more messages like this, make sure you subscribe and share with your friends. Don't forget to stay connected with us by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at CB Glades at Pastor D. Hughes.